Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, so did Dusty Baker go rogue during the 2022 postseason? There is a new book out that suggests that Dusty took the suggestions of the front office that postseason. But wasn't all that hip in terms of actually implementing what they wanted him to implement.
Classic old school move of the older guy taking the memo and wiping his butt with it.
That's exactly what it was.
Getting all the young junior executives, taking them out. They're like, hey, we're going to drive out into the country. And I'm going to go down and squat down by the side of the road. And this is what I'm doing with your memos.
So this is the story. Veteran baseball writer Scott Miller has a book that is either coming out or it's out. It's called Skipper: Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. And in the book, Dusty Baker and Cito Gaston, who are former teammates, longtime friends. Of course, Cito Gaston won two World Series with the Toronto Blue Jays in the early 90s. Dusty and Cito Gaston are two of three black managers to win a World Series. Dave Roberts of the Dodgers is the other one. And that chapter in that book talks about that aspect of it, the racial aspect of baseball and hiring, and how there's, even today, there's only a couple of black managers in baseball. But the part that is relevant to Houston Astro fans is this. Baker said he heard from Houston's baseball operations people throughout the 2022 World Series against the Phillies, which the Astros, as we all know, won in six games. He stuck with some of the team's mainstays despite the trade deadline additions of players such as Christian Vasquez and first baseman Trey Mancini.
Oh, Mancini.
Baker told Miller, quote, nobody wanted Yuli Gurriel to play. Nobody wanted Martin Maldonado, to catch. The operations people didn't want Peña to bat second either. But I've got to do what I think is right. You know, I'm a numbers man too. I've always used numbers, always. But I don't use them 100%. There are no absolutes in this game, period. Whether I go with my feelings or whether I go with numbers, there are no absolutes because the opposition can change your absolute formula by a homer or a blooper or a walk or whatever it is. End quote, which echoes, Seth, something he said, I feel like, constantly throughout his time here, which is, hey, man, I like the numbers, too. I'm paraphrasing here. I like them. I just don't like them as much as, you know, the nerds up in that office up there. Right.
Or just lean on them as
lean
heavily.
On them, yeah.
Yeah, it is. A lot of the stories from this book, it really is just kind of an illustration of trying to find that balance between the old school and the human side of things versus what the numbers tell you you should do. And I love a couple of them because sometimes managers lean way too much into the look in a guy's eye or whatever. But there are times where, man, you can tell if a dude has just lost it all of a sudden. There was a story that was relayed to me once about Brian Hoyer when he was benched in the first game of the season. And people looked at it as like, wow, just, man, look at him. I can't believe that. I can't believe O'Brien pulled the plug on him that quickly. But based on the way Brian Hoyer was operating,
yeah.
Or, you know, think about that classic clip from the college game where the backup quarterback came in and his hand
shaking.
Yeah. Like sometimes it's pretty damn obvious. Like sometimes you can see it and the numbers don't tell you that. The stuff that happens in the moment or just even, I don't know, or it's like, man, oh, I smell alcohol on this guy's breath. That wasn't Hoyer.
No.
But in a baseball situation or whatever, there are little kind of micro interactions that only the manager knows. And it's not just necessarily always him going with his gut feel or because he likes the veterans. You know, because I know Dusty, it always felt like, oh, my God, why is he just leaning on these veterans way too much? Or he's using the back of their baseball card to make it. Versus, you know, at the same time, he was insistent on sticking with Pena in the two-hole. In that series. You know, it wasn't that he had an allegiance to old guys. It was just he was going with what he felt about these players individually.
And he, for the Pena part of this, where he kept Pena in the two-hole, he cites the exact thing that you're talking about, Seth, which is, forget about the numbers. What is the vibe I'm getting off of this guy? And Baker told Miller, quote, he's out there with the young play with the other young players. And like Bo said, and Bo is Bo Schembechler. Let me back up. Dusty Baker said that he got advice from the late Michigan football coach Bo Schembechler at one point that you can see in a player's face whether he's up for the moment or not. And that helped sell him on Pena, who was replacing Carlos Correa at the time. Here's the quote from Dusty Baker. He's out there with the other young players, and like Bo said, you can see fear, you can see anxiety, or you can see that the kid doesn't have a scared bone in his body, or you can see his intelligence, you can see his heart, you can see it all by looking at his face.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a believer in the face. You know I'm a believer in the
right.
face.
Right, oh yeah, 100%, yeah. 100%. And that's, and the, on the analytical side of things, people hate hearing that because the problem is that some people are genuinely good at it and some people are bad at it. And we as humans tend to overestimate our ability to understand other people's emotions. We're not nearly as good at it as we like to think we are. We misinterpret it all the time. But it's a hard skill to measure, but I think some managers simply do have that and know and understand. Because personally, I think sometimes coaches use facial expression and body language more than they should, but it doesn't mean that it's completely invalid.
Yeah.
I think some guys are really good at understanding which individuals, whatever it means, does mean something. So that's like the emotional intelligence side of things that, yeah, a guy like Dusty Baker, who's been around forever, that it, like probably has a much better feel for it than a lot of people,
yeah.
Especially than the quants.
Yep.
So like, yeah, it's, I'm not sitting here saying that the analytics guys are dumb or anything. It's that you got to find that balance. And as much as it seemed like Dusty was anti-analytics in a lot of way, you can't discount or undervalue the human side of things.
The two players, it's interesting, the two players that Dusty claims that the front office wanted him to maybe minimize more than he did, Yuli Gurriel and Martin Maldonado. The Maldonado one I don't find hard to believe at all, just based on how Dusty treated Maldonado, not just in 2022 in the postseason, but throughout his entire Astros career. The Yuli one was really interesting to me. Like, wow. I mean, Trey Mancini was a good player. He was really good for the Astros right out of the chute. Remember, he hit like a home run in his first three games as an Astro.
Yeah, but remember, just as a reminder, they traded for him midseason.
Yeah, they traded with the Orioles to get Trey Mancini, and they traded for Vasquez from the Red Sox. So they got both of those guys at midseason. But it's not like, if I remember correctly, it's not like Trey Mancini tore it up once he became an Astro after those first few
games. No, it was really bad for a long time. So, and in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, yeah. So why, like, and Yuli ended up having a great postseason. Like, Dusty made the right call on, they won the World Series, so I wouldn't change anything, right? Even if Yuli Gurriel hit 182, I don't care. The result was the World Series. But Yuli had a really good postseason that year. And Yuli, that one I agree. That one I'm a little, of all of the things that get cited in here as the decisions that maybe Dusty went against the grain on, you know, Pena in the two hole, Maldon, you know, playing Vasquez more at catcher. Vasquez only ended up catching one postseason game, and it was the combined no-hitter in game four of the World Series. Yeah. The Yuli one is curious to me because that does feel like one, like, yes, he was significantly worse offensively in 2022 than he was in 2021 when he won the freaking batting title in the American League. His batting average dropped by over 70 points year to year. But that's one to me where, like, okay, Trey Mancini has not been in the postseason, maybe at all to that point. He'd been an Oriole his whole career. And Yuli had been in several postseasons, some in seasons where he was really good in the regular season, some where he wasn't as good, but he always had big moments, Yuli.
And in the World Series, he went 6-for-19. He had a 3.16 batting average in the World Series. Yeah. But Mancini also made that great play in Game 7 at first base.
He did, too. So that was, Game 6. Yeah.
Defensively, or Game 6 defensively. Yep. Yeah.
So the other one here, the decisions that Dusty may have gone against the grain. This just says, as far as another one of his memorable decisions from that World Series, and this was one I had forgotten about, Seth, the pivotal Game 5. Astros had just tied the series at 2 in the previous game with the no-hitter, letting Justin Verlander face the Phillies lineup for a third time in Game 5 with a 2-1 lead in the fifth inning. Baker told Miller he recalled the advice of former Dodgers teammate Tommy John. A good pitcher can get out of trouble twice, a great pitcher three times, a so-so pitcher maybe once. After giving up a two-out double, Verlander retired Nick Castellanos. Oh, God, I remember this. After a 10-pitch at-bat to get out of the inning. And I remember that at the time. It was the fifth inning, and I'm watching this, and I'm going, man, Dusty is leaving. Dusty, I thought clearly Dusty was leaving him in there to get his first World Series, to get Verlander his first World Series when he'd never won a World Series game.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh man, he's leaving him in because you got to get through five innings as a starting pitcher. And they actually brought that up in the book with Dusty, and he said that that wasn't the reason why, but it was in his heart. He said Baker maintained getting Verlander the elusive win was not why he left him in, but admitted, quote, it was in my heart, end quote.
If it's in your heart, it somehow seeps into your brain.
Yes.
That's the one thing.
Yes,
yeah.
So – I thought that was interesting.
Well, no, it's not like the fans. The funny thing is, the Astros fans were aligned with a lot of the things that the analytics folks would have been telling Dusty in that too.
Yeah.
The undying love and devotion to Maldonado and anything else with there. I don't think it's not. No manager ever makes all the perfect decisions. Mm-mm. It did. If I had to choose for a guy that balances out the analytics with the human side of it, I think Dusty was way more on the human side of things. Hinch was probably a little bit more on the analytics side of things. And plus Hinch got his chance or a second chance because he would go all in with the analytics and everything. So I think there was somewhere in between is probably the best spot. Somewhere in between Hinch and Dusty Baker is like the genuine guy that just really can bridge both worlds and have the human touch, but also understand the analytics.
Yeah, I think, and it may depend on the team too, the makeup of the team. I thought Dusty was the perfect manager for that particular group of guys.
Yeah,
it's a veteran team. That was the villain coming out of the sign stealing.
Right.
Scandal.
I mean, Dusty, if you think about really how it felt when they hired Dusty, it was almost like, okay, nobody knows what the hell's going to happen after all this stuff blows over.
Yeah.
And by the way, COVID, and that maybe just we need somebody who can steady the ship.
Yes.
And who knows how long they expected Dusty to actually be there when they first hired him. They just wanted somebody that could steady the ship.
Yep.
And he did a brilliant job of it.
He did, no doubt. They bring up in here the fact that Dusty's career ended with the ALCS loss to the Rangers in 7 games, where the Astros lost all 4 games at home. And I got to thinking, I'm like, man, has there ever been a team? The Astros in a 6-season period from 2019 to 2024 were eliminated from the postseason. And in 3 of those series in which they were eliminated, they won one World Series. So they're obviously eliminated from the postseason 5 times out of those 6 years. 3 of those 5 eliminations were in series where they lost every game at home.
Yeah.
They lost all 4 games at home in the 2019 World Series to the Nationals. They lost all four games at home to the Rangers in the 2023 ALCS. And if you want to count last year, they got swept at home by the Detroit Tigers in the wild card round. That's insane.
It's insane.
Win a game at home.
You think it's insane when you think about how this run all started when it was the ALCS in 2017, where the noise and everything was just so incredible at Minute Maid Park.
Yeah.
The bipolarity of this team when they were in the golden era, and especially in the last few years, even. Yeah. It's been, I don't know. Sometimes it's been interesting. We're like, oh, yeah, but you still won the World Series. And sometimes it's been devastatingly emotionally painful.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chandler Rome, speaking of Minute Maid, now Daikin Park, kind of a convenient cutting off point timeline-wise, you know, in the history of the team, that the year 2000 was their first season in the new stadium, which now is not all that new anymore. But the Chandler Rome, I guess all the beat writers for The Athletic were tasked with putting together an all 2000s team, an all century team for this century for their respective teams. Chandler put his together for the Astros, Chandler Rome of The Athletic. And I by and large agree with most of it. I think there's one part of his all 2000s team that's very clunky.
Yeah.
Very clunky. So I'll just go through. I'm going to lay it out who's on the team. It's a nine-person starting lineup, five starting pitchers, and a closer.
This is all 2000s, remember.
Yes.
Not all-time Astros.
Yeah. The beginning date for something like this should be January 1st, 2000. Yes. First base, Lance Berkman. Second base, Craig Biggio. We'll come back to that. Shortstop, Carlos Correa. Third base, Alex Bregman. Catcher, Jason Castro. And then the outfield, left to right, is Jose Altuve in left field, which he's been playing for all of 2 months, George Springer in center field, and Kyle Tucker in right field. He's got Jeff Bagwell as his DH, and his starting rotation is Justin Verlander, Dallas Keuchel, Gerrit Cole, Roger Clemens, and Roy Oswalt. The closer is Ryan Presley. So, and with the closer, I guess it comes down to Presley or Lidge. He chose Presley based on the postseasons, which Presley was amazing. I don't have a big problem with that. The part that is super clunky to me is it feels like he's pigeonholing Bagwell, but to a much greater degree, Biggio in this thing. Bagwell, actually, people only remember like maybe the very end where Bagwell just couldn't throw the ball anymore. Bagwell had 5 seasons in the 2000s, from 2000 to 2004. He didn't make an all-star team, but he was still elite offensively. He was like 30, 40 home runs, 140 RBI guy. Put that aside.
He had 927 OPS in the 2000s, since the year 2000.
Zero issue.
Yeah, it wasn't like he had those last couple of years were not, yeah.
Yeah, zero issue with Bagwell. Zero issue with Bagwell. The Biggio at second base, and then to kind of pigeonhole Altuve, because you have to have Altuve on this team, in my opinion, the greatest player in the history of the franchise. When I was scrolling down this article, Seth, and I saw Biggio at second base, I'm saying to myself, are you kidding me? He's not going to have Jose Altuve on the all-century team for the Astros. And then you get down to the outfield, and he's in left field, which just putting Jose Altuve in left, this feels like, and I hate saying this, this is why some of these exercises are uncomfortable, because it feels like somehow you're downplaying Craig Biggio in this. You know, not you, I'm saying like a general you. Like if you're having the opinion I am, I feel like, you know, yeah, am I minimizing Craig Biggio? I just don't feel like Craig Biggio necessarily belongs on the all-2000s team ahead of Jose Altuve, who I think you can easily put at second base, and then I would put Yordan Alvarez in left field, and I would leave Bagwell on the team as the DH. That would be how I would remedy this, and I would apologize to Craig Biggio and say, sorry, you're not on the all-2000s team.
This is the biggest problem about it, is that Biggio played second base just for the first couple of years of this century.
And then in his last year, he played second base as well.
Right, yeah. but as a second baseman specifically, it wasn't like.
I agree with you.
From 2000 on, it just wasn't. He barely played second base.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And his OPS was in the 700s, and he didn't make an all-star team in the 2000s. Chandler cites the fact that the 3000th hit that Biggio had, which came in 2007. Yeah. It was a very seminal moment for the organization, which it was. I was there. It was really, really cool. It's just, you know, sometimes there are hard decisions to be made on stuff like this. I just feel like I put Altuve at second base where he's played virtually his whole career. Put Yordan Alvarez in left field, because Yordan 100% belongs on this all-2000s team. And then, you know, make a utility spot for Craig Biggio. You know, whatever. It's just, yeah, I feel like that's the approach that I would have taken on this one.
Yeah, I have a feeling that when Chandler first got this assignment, he was like, oh crap, oh, you bastards. All right, great, we're going to start with an arbitrary date of 2000, and then I got to make hard decisions. It's kind of like feels like when you get into arguments about whether a guy should be in the Hall of Fame or not.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, I'm going to end up looking like a jerk because I'm going to say this guy doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, and it makes it look like people interpret it as that I'm calling the guy a bum or something.
No,
no, he's awesome. He just doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it was funny. My situation with that personally was I did an article for the Houston Press about the Texans Ring of Honor and what I felt like the threshold should be for the Texans Ring of Honor, and brought up specific players, like yes or no kind of thing, without really kind of realizing, like, oh yeah, that's right, some of these players still live in town and read my articles. I remember Owen Daniels like tweeting at me like, hey, what did I ever do to you? No, he didn't say that. He was cool about it. The starting pitching, without going through the whole quarter century, like Verlander, no-brainer. I feel like Clemens won a Cy Young and was awesome, no-brainer. Roy Oswalt was outstanding. No-brainer Roy Oswalt. Gerrit Cole, only 2 seasons, but they were 2 of the most dominant seasons in the history of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Keuchel is an interesting one, because Dallas Keuchel had 1 great year where he won the Cy Young. He had another good year where he made the All-Star team but was injured for a decent chunk of the season. And then other than that, he had two okay years. And then, you know, just then he had his younger years where he was just a struggling up-and-comer. And when I think of Keuchel, I'm like, who would you rather have starting a big game, Keuchel or Framber Valdez? The difference between these two is like razor thin when it comes to the numbers over the course of their Astros career. So, maybe it's just a rhetorical question because Keuchel is so far in the rearview mirror. But Framber is right there for me in terms of cracking this five. Keuchel's a Gold Glover and won a Cy Young Award. That's probably the tiebreaker, I'm guessing, for Chandler in this thing.
Yeah. The fact that they made it, when you have to actually break it down by position, and you're right, I undershot Biggio because it was he played way more games at second base through the first several years the last years of his career that extended on into 2000.
Yeah, it was about 50-50.
Still not nearly the same number of games that Altuve has played at second base.
Like a month.
And that.
It's just clunky.
He's treating this like the opposite of how the All-Star committee is treating the All-Star Altuve voting this year, where they have Altuve listed as a second baseman.
That's right. Chandler does a good job on it. I just disagree with a few of the things, but I would say go check it out, especially if you're a subscriber to The Athletic.
I don't blame Chandler. I blame The Athletic in general for making him do this
exercise. Well, it was funny you say that. See, I love articles like this. I'll read the ones for some of the other teams too. I'm in accolades. I love them. The picture for this article when the title was the Astros all quarter century team and the picture for the article is Biggio high fiving Bagwell. I'm like, oh, this is going to be an interesting. It was a really good choice of picture because when you think of this century for the Astros, you largely think of the last 10 years. You don't think of the first 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw that picture, I'm like, well, Biggio and Bagwell are on this thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's getting left off?
If there's any advice I could give to a young athlete, it's don't have your career be evenly divided between two centuries.
Or a decade.
Or 2 decades.
Yeah.
Right. God help you if you have 4 awesome years in 2026 through 2030. So if you can do it, if you can help it, don't get born until it coincides with your pro career starting at the beginning of a decade.
100%. 100%.
Just do that.
My last take on this thing is Lance Berkman is one of the most criminally underrated baseball players of all time. Not underrated Astros. He didn't make the cut on the Hall of Fame ballot the first time he was on it, and you only need 5% of the vote. He got like 2% of the vote. Lance Berkman made multiple All-Star teams, multiple Silver Sluggers, top 5 MVP votes. Last I looked, he has the second highest OPS of any switch hitter in the history of baseball, not named Mickey Mantle. Like that's like I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, but that he doesn't make the cut to stay on the ballot for a few years is absurd.
Yeah, that was it. Almost felt like slough off from some kind of anti-Astros sentiment.
He got caught up in the sign-stealing scandal.
Wasn't even here when... When did Luno get hired?
2013?
2011. 11, that's right. Yeah. So he spent 2 years... He wasn't even here then.
No.
Bagwell finished in 2013. His last year in Houston was 2009.
You said Bagwell.
Sorry. I meant Berkman. Berkman. Talking about Berkman.
Yeah.
Now, Berkman did follow my advice because he started his career off right before the century.
Yes.
His first year was 99.
99,
right?
Yeah.
Yep. So, like, that was perfect in that regard. So it helped him on this list.
Yes, it sure did. It sure did.
If he had been born 10 years earlier, we'd have to have some kind of awkward Yuli Gurriel. I don't know. It just,
I'm glad we don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Text message talking about Dusty Baker going rogue. Still terrible moves. Nothing changes that. They weren't terrible moves. They won. Yeah. Is it Dusty sticking with Yuli? Dusty sticking with Maldonado? Putting Pena in the
I don't know. Vasquez played well, too. The Maldi dynamic was just weird.
Yeah.
He had such an undying devotion to Maldi.
That may have
and
been
then
that may have
where
been the
it
pitchers.
Bled over was somehow people believed that, like, no, only like that somehow the pitchers that you're paying $20-plus million per year have to have their super special guy to throw to or else they're no good at all. It's true. Yes, I don't mean to downplay how good Maldi was at calling a game or anything, but you got to strike a balance between what a guy's like those are still good. Those guys are going to be good pitchers regardless.
For sure. You know, yeah, Vasquez caught a no-hitter. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And so.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you.
This is a rough segment for me with the names. Too many names and dates flying around.
The bees. You got hit by the bees, man.
Right.
Bagwell and Berkman. You got hit by
There's
the
nothing crowd. That gets you thinking better like repeatedly hitting yourself in the face.
Just ask Ken Giles, who was not the closer on the all-century team for the Astros. All right, so tomorrow, every Friday, we do a segment at 9 a.m. on Fridays called Take a Mania, where we have the worst takes of the week, challenging the reigning, defending world champion bad take. I was not here for last Friday's Take a Mania. Brandon Scott was in for me, Seth. Is Andrew Perloff still our reigning defending champion in Take a Mania?
He is, I believe. Yeah,
yeah, I think he is. I think
We might have to rotate him out soon. As soon as a contender that comes, this is how we're going to handle it, everybody, for Take a Mania, because Angelo Cataldi might have won it, or now Andrew Perloff might win this thing for the next nine straight months. So we're going to have an end-of-the-year tournament, and basically if somebody comes along, if there's a contender that we could see also making the end of the year tournament, we're going to roll out the old champion and wait until the end of the year.
We'll
so for right now, Perloff is safe unless somebody says something really stupid this week.
But let's not adjudicate these versus Perloff yet. I just want to put these out there and plant the seed. These are just samples like Costco for the audience right here. This was Kendrick Perkins. Now, Kendrick Perkins of ESPN, who was in Take a Mania last week, right? I wasn't here, but he made the cut. I feel like Kendrick Perkins has been. Yes,
what was
he
the
was.
Take?
Ben's nodding.
Right.
What was his take?
It was that Ant-Man can't be the face of the NBA because he's not a family man.
Oh, yeah, Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah,
to
he
which
doesn't.
I ended up arguing with Clint Sterner via text about. Yeah,
sounds.
Well, Clint, this is the problem. Is Clint? We'll have him on in an hour and a half. Yeah. Clint, Kendrick Perkins said a lot of stuff about how you know, you got to have a family, this, that, and the other thing, Clint said, yeah, a lot of that stuff's true. Yeah, when you have a family, it does stabilize you and everything. I'm like, yeah, I agree with you, Clint, but that's not the argument we're having.
Yeah.
We're talking about whether you should be disbarred from being the
face of the
league
combo,
based on whether you're married or not. And the vast evidence shows, like, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Tiger Woods, those guys were the face of their respective leagues or what have you when they weren't married. And it's just, it's a bad take by Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, bad take.
So anyway.
We're not replaying that take. Kendrick Perkins is back. With this take, Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns, I know as somebody that there are Rocket fans out there that would love to see Devin Booker in a Rockets uniform. There had been reports throughout the season that maybe the Rockets would target Devin Booker. Sounds like that's cooled off, according to Kelly Eco of The Athletic. This has nothing to do with the Rockets. It has everything to do with Devin Booker. Kendrick Perkins talking about why he would think differently of Devin Booker if he stayed in Phoenix this offseason on a contract extension.
Not only trading KD, but trading Devin Booker. And this is going to tell me a lot about Devin Booker. Here's why. He has been activated. You know why? Because he's 28 going on 29. So that means Udeh, Shanae, Malik, he's what? He's just starting his prime. His prime has been activated. This team is not going nowhere. This team ain't going nowhere. They're not even going to be a top six seed in the West. I don't care who they trade for. Right now, and I'm just going off of right now. The Mavs, Lakers, Nuggets.
OKC,
Minnesota, that's five. Houston, that's six. And we can really keep going. So, Devin Booker, I don't want to ever get to the point where I look at him and call him a loser. But if he comes to a place where he's okay with being there and not leveling up to go to an organization where you actually could compete for a championship and you ready to just stay there basically for another rebuild, I got a problem with that.
Here's why I don't like that take is what Kendrick Perkins is implying there is that Devin Booker needs to go gang up with some other people to go win a championship. And somehow if he doesn't...
And that somehow he's choosing... And sticking with the team that he's on, it's somehow
like
a character flaw.
It makes him a loser. It makes him a loser if he doesn't go gang up with some other star players to try to win a title is a horrible take. Horrible.
This is why, Sean, you know what, though? And then the biggest test for this is, okay, how do you feel about this in a situation like, say, when Houston wanted Chris Bosh?
Yeah.
But Chris Bosh decided to stay in Miami.
Right.
Mike Meltzer destroyed me because, in a good way, he shut me down because I was having a take similar to Kendrick Perkins.
Okay.
I was saying, what? Does Chris Bosh not want the glory? Does he not want the championship? Mm-hmm. Another chance? Come to Houston and be a winner. And Mike said, well, is this really what we want of our athletes? I thought we admired when guys wanted to stay with their own team.
Yes.
And when they wanted to stick it out and see it through. Loyalty from a professional athlete. And I said, damn it, Mike, I will not concede this in this moment, even though you are 100% correct.
And now, yes. 11 years later. Yeah.
I will argue. No, I did. In the moment, I was like, yes, you're exactly right. Yeah, like, what are we? Are we really at the point where we're going to criticize a guy for wanting a professional athlete? Where people get jaded about how professional athletes are just mercenaries and whatever. But now we're at the point where in the NBA, if you don't go ring chase or try to create a
you're
super
a loser?
Team, yeah, you're a loser. That's... because you want to stay with your team. I can't get on board with that.
No, it's a bad take. It's a really, really bad take. And I'm anxious to see how it does tomorrow when we put it up against Andrew Perloff.
Well, that's where, like Freddie Freeman with the Braves.
Yes.
That's the ultimate story of a guy that, man, when the Braves reset, that he, like, boy, if you really want to go win or something, go somewhere else. And they talked to him and he said, no, we want you here for the turnaround.
Yes.
And Freddie Freeman stuck it out with the Braves and ends up winning a World Series against some team. I don't remember who it was.
I don't either.
And,
that's
what every sports fan would want is a guy that's going to stick it out.
Bad take. Bad take. All right.
It's a bad take, especially because it's a sign of how the culture of the NBA has turned into, like, zero allegiance to the teams or the city or anything else like that, even amongst a lot of fans or people who cover the sport.
No question. All right, second one here. Again, preview for tomorrow's Take-A-Mania. This is Lisa Leslie, who looks to be in this video on a podcast with Draymond Green and a couple other people.
She's in the shop there.
Okay.
It's on the shop, I believe.
The shop.
LeBron's deal.
Okay, that was on LeBron's pod. Okay, gotcha. So this is Lisa Leslie. She made Draymond Green angry, man. This is Lisa Leslie talking about throwing an idea out there that maybe the NBA needs to help subsidize the WNBA.
I think I saw something that said like one player that makes maybe $12 million on the NBA team could cover the whole WNBA salary.
Yeah, that's insane.
So that's kind of like crazy. And again, you know, we're 26 years young, so it's not like we're comparing ourselves to the NBA, but I do feel like the pay gap would be something that, you know, we could just take a donation around the NBA, maybe one night y'all don't go to the casino.
I have something on this, though, because it pisses me off. It pisses me off because I don't think there's anyone in America that supports the WNBA more than NBA players.
100%.
Like, the NBA players support the WNBA like
the most.
More than we probably support the NBA. And it bothers me.
Okay, I hate that I'm agreeing with Draymond Green here, but Sean, you use the word subsidize, like maybe, and she presents it like maybe the NBA should. The NBA does subsidize the WNBA. That's the part. It would be one thing if she got up there and said, like, I think the investment could be more or something. But they made a huge initial investment and then continue to subsidize over $15 million per year to the WNBA.
Yeah.
So I don't, I feel like don't come and say, hey, I wish you guys would help us when they are, in fact, already helping you.
Yeah.
And it's bothering me. It's bothering me that I'm agreeing with Draymond Green on this because Lisa Leslie might argue that maybe it should be more or whatever it is, but don't come and act like we haven't already done a lot for you.
Yeah.
It's that's the part that would bother me.
They're conflating the WNBA players, and Lisa Leslie's not alone. There's plenty of other WNBA players who have had horrific takes on how much the players should make. They're equating the work that they're doing with the audience that they draw. Yes, you work hard at your craft. You work hard at your game. You play not as many games as the NBA. I think they only play, 40 games, something like that. It's a shorter season. But the NBA draws way more eyeballs than you do. Like, that's where the revenue is not generated through the work. The revenue is generated through butts in seats and eyes on television. Like, that's just because you're working as hard as somebody at a job, especially in media, doesn't mean you are deserving of the same income as them. It's about the audience that you draw and subsequently what sponsors spend on advertising and all those things. I don't need to do business 101 on all this. That's a bad take. Especially, you're right, because it's already being subsidized.
For me, the worst part of the take is that she's not recognizing that they already do get they are already subsidized by the NBA.
Yeah.
Presenting it that way, it almost presents an image of the NBA just sitting around and just seeing what happens with the WNBA. When no, the NBA is very much looking at the WNBA as something that they'd like to grow and develop. So what she, if she were being saying it in good faith, it would be we feel like they should be investing more.
Yeah. Yep.
And the players, not all that indirectly, are. Because the NBA has spent money on the WNBA, the players are, in fact, giving some of their salary up.
Yeah.
Because the whole pool of the total revenue is all – that all dictates, how much the players are getting.
All right, game one tonight. Speaking of basketball, game one tonight, Thunders and Pacers in OKC. All right, you'll hear those takes again tomorrow at 9 o'clock on Take-A-Mania. Up next, the Athletic has one question for each new play caller in the NFL this season. Checks notes. Yep, Texans have a new play caller. His name is Nick Caley. What is the big question that they have? What's a big question you have for Nick Caley and his role as play caller for the Houston Texans? We'll hit that coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.